If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 22. We have been studying together about the New Jerusalem. Time will not permit us to review the things at which we have already looked, but we call to your attention today the fourth verse of Revelation, chapter 22, where we have presented to us something about the residents of the New Jerusalem. And who are they? Who are they who are going to live in this eternal city? Well, let me say that the residents who are going to live in this eternal city are you and I. We are going to live there. Notice Revelation 22, verse 4, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. That is the reason why, beloved, you are told in the 22nd verse that there is no temple, no church, no synagogue, no cathedral in heaven. You will not need a place of worship. You will be constantly in the presence of the Lord in this eternal city. If you will look at verse 3, you will find that the individuals who make this city their eternal home are not only in constant fellowship with the Lord, but they're busy. For we read, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Somebody says, when I get to heaven, I want a rest. Well, I don't know that you want a rest, for if you have a glorified body, it will never get tired. You will have time on your hands and will get restless if there isn't something for you to do. That's the reason why you are told in this portion of the Word of God that the servants of God will serve him in this eternal dwelling place. Now, a description of this place would not be complete if I did not remind you that all of the inhabitants of this city will be content. Sometimes, you know, we hear about somebody's moving to a certain city, and when we see him, we say to him, well, how do you like it? Sometimes he says, I don't like it very well. I wish I hadn't had to move here. Sometimes he says, well, I like it real well. I'm glad I was able to move here. There are no ifs and ands about this city. No ifs and ands about this eternal city. The people who live in this eternal city are content. Verse 4 of Revelation chapter 21 describes the condition of all the people who are with the Lord even at the present time, but it is emphasized also as a characteristic of this eternal city. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. My, that is a precious thought, isn't it? There have been a lot of tears shed on this old earth of ours. God doesn't forget that people cry. You know, many, many times people say to me when I am having conferences with them, I wish I couldn't cry like this. I wish I wouldn't cry like this. With tears running down their cheeks, very often they try to stop the tears and apologize for crying. And I always say to them, don't talk like that. God made your tears, and God expects you to use them. God thinks your tears are so precious that the Bible says, now I don't know exactly how it's done, but this is what the Bible says, that when the saints of God cry, God sends the angels to catch their tears in a bottle. That's how much they mean to him. That's how interested he is in you. But one of these days, God is going to wipe away the tears from the eyes of the saints of God, and there will be no more crying. Then we read in this same passage of Scripture that there shall be no more death. Death is not a pleasant thing. We do have an awful lot to fix it up and dress it up and make it as practical and as acceptable as we can, but it isn't an easy thing. Thank God that this eternal home of which we speak, we will never have to attend another funeral. We will never have to stand beside the bedside of another loved one as he takes his last breath. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. What causes sorrow? Time would not permit me to list for you all the things that cause broken hearts. But there will be no broken hearts in heaven. There will be no more crying. This crying is not the same as tears. This means that there will be no long groans of agony, no sobs, no dry, racking sobs that shake the body because of a broken heart. There will be no more of that in this eternal home. And there will be no more pain. Thank God for that. All the suffering will be gone, and there will be no more mental anguish either. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could forget certain things that memory won't let you forget? There are a lot of people today who are suffering great mental anguish because they cannot forget. Well, thank God they are going to be able to forget when they get into their eternal home. Because we read in the last part of verse 4, the former things are passed away. The suggestion is that the memory of those former things, the things that cause mental anguish, are passed away and are no more. Now, I would like for you to notice one or two other things that are suggested in this chapter about this city. Attention is drawn in verse 12 to the fact that there is a great wall around this city. We read, had a great wall, great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The first thing that interests us in this verse is that the city had a wall, which John says was a great high wall. And if you will glance at verse 17, he will tell you how high it was. He measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. That is, the angel used the measuring stick of a man and said the wall was 144 cubits, which means that it was 216 feet high. Now that's a pretty high wall, isn't it? That wall surrounding the city of Jerusalem, we are told, had foundations which became the foundations of the city. If you will glance at verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Those foundations were things of beauty, because verse 19 and verse 26 tell that on those foundations were garnished all manner of precious stones. Now that simply adds to the description of the beauty that is presented in this one chapter concerning the eternal city. If you will glance back at the 12th verse with me, you will notice that the wall also had 12 gates. And if you will notice further down in the chapter, you will see that the gates were on each side of the city. So in verse 13, you can read that there were on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And you might say today, why all these gates? Well, look again, and notice in verse 12 that each of the 12 gates had one of the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written above it. The gates had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written above them, and the foundations of the city had the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Maybe you're saying today, well, what difference does that make? Well, when you have time, read the second chapter of the Ephesian letter and remember that our salvation, our relationship to God, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and the 12 tribes of Israel, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. God makes an eternal memorial out of that in these 12 gates, 3 on each side of the city. Notice in verse 12 that these gates are each one guarded by an angel. And if you will glance down at verse 25, you will find that the gates of the city are never shut by day. There is no night there. So the gates of the city are never shut. Some thinking person may say, well, why the walls? Why the gates? Why the angels there to stand guard? Why are the gates never shut? We would remind you of what we have learned before, that there are new nations on this earth, and those new nations have the opportunity of coming and going into this city as they will. But if you will look at verse 27, you will find the reason why the gates are there and the wall. Because we read, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written there? On that page, bright and fair? I hope that it is.